Very, very quickly. This is meant to be the concluding version of the toxicity of hate. And I'm speaking on living and loving in a loveless world. Loveless world. How do we live and love in a world that is bankrupt of love? In Matthew chapter 12 and in verse 24, the Bible said, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many, 24:12, the love of many shall wax cold. The love in the hearts of people shall wax cold. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, if we read verse 2 and in verse 3, the Bible says, in the last days perilous time shall come. Men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous boasters, proud blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. I thought discretionally you move forward. Without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce despisers of those that are good. Now, let us look at traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Let's look at verse 3 and 4 from other translations. He said they will be unloving, amplified version. They will be devoid of natural human affection. They will be calloused. They will be inhumane, irreconcilable. They can't reconcile them. Malicious gossips, devoid of self-control, intemperate, immoral, brutal, haters of good, traitors, reckless, conceited, lovers of sensual pleasure rather than lovers of God. That is the character of the end time. Bible in basic English said they will be without natural love. They will be bitter haters. In the end time, we'll see a lot of bitterness and hatred. Saying evil of others. You see that online all the time. Violent, uncontrolled. Hating everything that is good. False to their friends. Acting without thought. Lifted up in mind. Loving pleasure. More than loving God. I think we'll stop with this final translation. They will be unkind. Merciless. Slanderous. Violent. Fierce. They will hate the good. They will be treacherous. They will betray. Reckless. Swollen with pride. They will love pleasure more than they love God. So we have an epidemic of hate. A hate revolution in our generation. But that is not what is worse. What is worse is what I call reactive bitterness. Where you come to the point where you begin to react by being very bitter. You are hated until you become very bitter. They conspire against you, betray you, until you are denatured. You lose your sweetness. You lose your niceness. You become very careful because you don't know who you will do good to and he will reward you with evil. You try to become very careful. You don't want to be hurt again. So you don't open up, you don't relax. You are tensed up and fenced up. It's reactive bitterness. But we want to find out today, why must I live in love? Why must I guard against reactive bitterness? I gave 7 points in the first service. I'll go through them and then add the 8th point. Why? Number one, we must live in love. To live in the nature and character of our Creator who made us in His image. We live in love. To live in the nature. God made man in His image and God is love. It is not possible to live in the nature of God without living in the nature of love. We must live in love. to live in the nature and in the character of our Creator who made us in His image. Number two, we must live and walk in love. To walk in agreement. And I want to add alignment. To walk in agreement, alignment, and fellowship with our Creator. Because the Bible said, how can two walk together except they be agreed? You can't walk in agreement. You can't walk in alignment. You can't walk in fellowship with God if you don't walk in love. For God is love. Now, let me make it clearer. The absence of love is the absence of God. It is not possible to carry the presence of God until you walk the walk of love. The presence of God can't be in a life that is devoid of love. And the presence of God is called the anointing. If you must walk in agreement with God, in alignment with God, and in fellowship with the Creator, we must walk the walk of love. Number three, we must live and walk in love to walk in godly character. Love brings out the best in you. Hate brings out the worst in you. Love brings out the best in man. Hate brings out. You see somebody who never killed before, just killed for the first time because of hate. Walk in godly character. Take your seat. Second, in Romans chapter 13 and in verse 10, he said, love does not work to hurt his brother. So love is the fulfillment of the law. The presence of the law of love is the presence of godly character. The absence of love is the presence of wicked character. You see men and women that are brutal in character, wicked. Nothing touches them. They enjoy the tears of others. The absence of love. We must live and walk in love to walk in godly character. Number four, we must live and walk in love to avoid the trouble and the torment of bitterness. There is a torment that bitterness brings. There is a trouble that bitterness brings. In the book of Matthew chapter 18, verse 34 and 35. Matthew 18, 34 and 35. And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if you from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. If you carry bitterness and you carry hate, the Bible said there are tormentors. He will deliver them to the tormentors. The tormentors can be arthritis. The tormentors can be migraine. God did not release them. Your condition permitted them. Your state of heart allowed them to come upon you until he has paid. So will your heavenly Father do to those who forgive not their neighbors? There are sicknesses that will be healed without prayer. If bitterness is released, if hatred is released, there are sicknesses that will be healed without prayer. Hallelujah. Number five, we must live and walk in love to escape the challenge of unanswered prayers. Unforgiveness hinders answer to prayers. Bitterness hinders answers to prayers. To escape the challenge of unanswered prayers. You look at that in Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11 verse 24. He said, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. And then he said, and when you stand praying, forgive. If you have aught against any, that your Father which is in heaven may forgive your trespasses. He said, but if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. So forgiveness is necessary for answered prayer. And while you are praying, and God sees that you are bitter against that person, he says that your sins remain with you. And so you are praying as a sinner, and God will not hear sinners. Bitterness. There are many people who are wondering, I am in church for donkey years, but my prayers are not answered. And a newcomer came in today and has a testimony. You know one reason why? 5 years ago, you and somebody struggled for sitting position. And even though the sitting seat issue has been resolved, but you have not forgiven. When you see the person coming, you pass the other way. Alright? You see it very far from the person in church. And you have been praying for 5 years and no prayer is answered. Do you understand what I'm saying? Don't waste your life like that. Don't waste your life like that. And so we must live and walk in love to escape the challenge of unanswered prayers. Number 6 is very crucial also. We must live and walk in love to avoid the challenge of impotent faith. Faith loses potency without love. In Galatians chapter 5 and in verse 6, the Bible said, for in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Faith is made potent by love. Hallelujah. You know why Jesus never missed it once in terms of praying for the sick or for the afflicted? And when all his prayers were answered, because he was love personified. In the book of Matthew chapter 14 and in verse 14, the Bible said he saw the multitudes and he was moved with compassion. And he healed their sick. His faith was sharp because his love was accurate. His love was sharp. So his faith was sharp. Your faith will never work if your love is not in place. Number 7, we must live and walk in love to avoid the tragedy of eternal damnation. There is a damnation at the end. Matthew, 1 John chapter 3, verse 14. You see what he said? We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Verse 15. And you know, that no murderer, whosoever hated his brother, is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. You have never killed before. But because you hate your brother with a passion, God sees you as a terrorist. He sees you as a ritual killer, a serial killer. That is not your portion in Jesus' name. Finally, we must walk in love to be our best. We must walk in love to be our best. The best of man will come out from the nature of God. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, God made man in his image. The image of God is the image of love. For God is Lord. So if you want to be your best, be like God. If you want your graces to come out, your potentials to come out, your gifts to come out, if you want to see manifestations like never before, be like God. When you are like God, you are your best. And to be like God is to walk in love, for God is love. If I don't preach anything today, and this is all that you live here with today, you're left with too much. You want to be your best. That is why the devil wants to denature you. He wants to introduce hate in your heart so you can lose the nature of God. Am I communicating? He wants to introduce bitterness in your soul so you can lose the nature of God. He wants to introduce malice unforgiveness in your spirit. So you can lose the nature of God. And when you lose the nature of God, you lose the nature of good. When you are not like God, you begin to become your worst. Many of us seated here today, you have more grace than you can see. You have more ability. Oh my God. You have more capability than what has fully been expressed so far. But you need to walk more in love. You need to walk more in love than you are doing now. The way some people have talked about us and against us and hurt us, myself. If you are a natural human being, such some people, you may not be talking to them. You may be, even if you are not bitter against them, you avoid them. Do you understand? But there are some of such people that are on our allowance today. Monthly. You see, there are some things you do deliberately to slap the devil in the face. There are some things you do deliberately to trigger certain things out of you. Love is not just emotion, it is action. Carry out the right action, the right emotion will follow. That is deep. Be honest. Many people are waiting for the emotion. I don't feel like talking to him. I don't feel like loving them. Carry out the right action. It will trigger the corresponding right emotion. Don't wait to feel before you act. Act and the feeling will follow. Somebody say a loud amen. And so, it is very, very important if you want to be Amsterdam, Holland, alright. Congratulations, Berlin. If you want to feel and to live like God, love like God, and all of a sudden, you will see gifts and graces come out of you that will amaze you. Somebody say a loud amen. Somebody say a loud amen. Somebody say a louder amen. What are the characteristics of love? I enumerated 9 in the first service, and I'm going to go through very, very sharp, and then I'll give you the flip side of it, of each of those points. Number one, love involves putting ourselves in the shoes of others. All right, let's look at the scripture that was the basis of this, and then we'll look at the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and we read from verse 4 all the way. I'm going to really try and rush so that we can see how we finish it. It says, charity suffereth long. That is love. It's kind. It envieth not. It does not vaunt itself. It's not puffed up. It does not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. It's not easily provoked. Thinks no evil. It rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. It beareth all things, believe all things, hope all things, endure all things. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall fail. Keep moving to verse 9, 10. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. He said, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is impartial be done away. He said, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. Now, for we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. But now I know in part, but then I shall know, even as I am also known now. Verse 13, very critical. Now abideth faith, hope and charity, these three. But the greatest of these is love. Now give me the amplified version, maybe from verse 4 all the way to verse 8. Verse 3 all the way, 4 all the way to verse 8. Amplified version. Love endures with patience and serenity. Love is kind and thoughtful. It's not jealous. It's not envious. It does not brag. And it's not proud or arrogant. It's not rude. It's not self-seeking. It's not provoked easily. It's not overly sensitive and easily angered. It does not take into account a wrong endured. This is love. Now, it does not rejoice at injustice. It rejoices with the truth when right and truth prevails. Love bears all things regardless of what comes. It believes all things, looks for the best in each one, hopes all things, remains steadfast during difficult times, endures all things without weakening. Love never fails. It never fades nor ends. But as for prophecy, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for the gift of special knowledge, it will pass away. So let's look at this and let us proceed. The first thing that we said in the first service is that love is putting others, ourselves, in the shoes of others and relating accordingly. That is, I put myself in my wife's shoes. If I was a wife, what do I expect a husband to do to me? I would do that to my wife. If I was a husband, how would I expect a wife to submit to me? Then I'll do that. And vice versa. It is putting ourselves in the shoes of others and relating accordingly. Number two, love means functioning in generosity and liberality. Love gives. Generous in counsel. Generous in affection. Generous in areas where the other person have the need for what we have. Love gives. Don't tell me you love and you're not giving. Number three, love means freedom from envy, jealousy, and bitter competitiveness. Where there is no love, people are envious. They are jealous. They are bitterly competitive. They hate you because you seem to have meat and they don't have it. No. Love is free from envy, from jealousy, from bitter competitiveness. Number four, love is freedom from boastfulness, pride, and vainglory. The normal loveless person wants to always make you feel like you are lower than him. So he is proud, he's boastful. But no, love has value for you. So it's not going to make you feel little than him. No. Number five, love treats people with courtesy, with respect, with value. It treats people with courtesy, with respect, with value. It is lovelessness that devalues people. Number six, love is not self-centered. It's not me first. It's not self-seeking. It is God-centered and people-centered. Number seven, love is not resentful. It's not easily angered. Love is not irritable. There are people who they are offense waiting to happen. They were already offended, looking for who would trigger it. That's not love. When you hang around loving people, their personalities is of such sweet disposition. Love. Number eight, love does not celebrate calamity, adversity, or evil. Love will not be happy because somebody went down. Love is not is good for him. He deserves it. Love does not do that. Love does not celebrate calamity, adversity, or evil. Number nine, love is durable. Love has endurance. That is why somebody can be married to the same wife for 40 years, for 50 years, for 60 years. Boyfriend, girlfriend is fleeting. Lust is fleeting. Once lost, get what he wants. You mean nothing to them. Love gives, lust gets, he grabs. That person who is after you for what to get, beware of them. Now, I move to the next point, which is number 10. Love is treating others the way we desire to be treated. Love is treating people the way one desires to be treated. I told you it's the flip side of all that I said before. Matthew chapter 7 verse 12. What things soever you want, what therefore all things so whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do ye even to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Would you want somebody to slap you? Why do you want to slap your wife? Would you want somebody to talk rudely to you? Why would you want to talk rudely to somebody? Would you want somebody to treat you as if you are nothing? Why would you want to make somebody feel like they are nothing? Would you want people to be sad when they encounter you? When you encounter them, why would you do that to others? Love is treating others the way you would want to be treated. Number 11, love is the release of good to whom it is due. It is not withholding good from whom it is due. Proverbs 3:27. The Bible said, withhold not good from them to whom it is due, when it is in the power of thine hand to do it. It is the refusal to withhold good from whom it is due. If somebody deserves thank you, thank them. Don't be too proud to withhold the thank you. If somebody deserves apology, give him. Don't withhold it. Am I communicating? In the first service, somebody testified that some people came to assess his factory and he got 100% in the assessment. But somebody among them said, she is a professional teacher. So he withdrew 3 marks from it and made it 97%. I said, that is complete nonsense. It's rubbish. It's garbage. Balderdash. Why will somebody get 100 and you remove 3 out of it? Because you feel like you shouldn't give anybody 100%. Who said that? The assignment of the teacher is to make the students to pass. And if they fail, it is your fault. You know, people are very liberal to condemn. They are not looking well. Your dress is not matching. But they are very stingy to commend. When somebody does the wrong thing, they are quick to point it out. When somebody has done the right thing, they withhold the commendation. That is not a love operation. It is an unloving operation. If I say it's a hateful operation, that would be too strong. You understand what I'm saying? Give it. What you receive is evil operation. What you sow is what you reap. It doesn't reduce me to tell this man you are looking fine. You are doing well. Keep it up. It doesn't take anything from me. In fact, human beings do better in commendation than in condemnation. You bring the best out of people. They do more of what you say they are doing well. Somebody say loud amen. You don't withhold from people what they deserve. You don't like the tribe of the man, but he passed the exam. Pass him. You are trying to make sinful advances towards the young lady, and she refused. As a civil servant or whatever office you are. And it is time to send people for foreign trips that can attract them some extra code and some resources, and you removed her name from it because of your nonsense, useless, selfish interest. If she is due for it, push aside your personal qualms and personal whatever it is and let her go. Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? If the person deserves it, give it. If the person deserves to have it, give it to them. Swallow your pride. Swallow your pride. Swallow your pride.
Swallow your pride. Otherwise, in a time to come, you will begin to vomit shame.
Look at your neighbor by your side. If I deserve it, give it to me. It is not my fault for deserving it. Give it to me. If somebody is your senior in the military, you deserve to pay him compliment. You may not like his tribe. You may hate it. You may hate everything about him, but the moment he is passing, you straighten up and salute him very well. To do otherwise is to buy a job. Seriously. He will pursue you and pursue you to your village. And probably report you to his contemporaries. See this guy. See what he did. You understand? It has nothing to do with his personality. It has to do with what he deserves. And he didn't buy the rank. He earned it. Somebody say amen. This is where people don't know how to make the demarcation between their own personal matters and the fact that somebody deserves something. What has killed Africa is mediocrity instead of meritocracy. The person who merits it should have it. No way. Let's do it tribe by tribe. No way. Let's do it. After this place, this one. And then you see sharp brains sitting under dull brains, receiving instruction from dullards only because a tribe placed him there. God will help us. In a short time to come, God will help us. Love is the release of good to whom it is due. Love does not withhold good. That was number 11. Number 12. Love is the release of goodwill towards all men. Goodwill. That is, your heart. The Bible says goodwill to all men. Goodwill towards all men. That is, best wishes. I wish you the best. May you do well. Who says that if somebody is doing well, that prevents you from doing well? Locate that scripture from your goodwill to all men. And then Matthew chapter 7 and verse 12. Whatsoever you wish that all things soever you would that men should do to you, do to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Let me tell you something. Life is a seed. One day, Reverend Dako, one person who is meant to be a pastor was very bitter against God's servant Bishop Yedeko. He has achieved this. He has overcome he has defeated everybody. Now, what does he want again? That's a man with a very wicked, competitive spirit. Young minister, young. Not a young man coming up. Very, very pernicious. He has done what others haven't done. Now, what does he want anymore? Those are people who will never amount to anything in life. Do you know what I do? All those ahead of me, from my heart, if you see God, ask him. Lord, everything you want this man to do for you in his lifetime, may he not die until it is done. Everything. Let him not be less, any inch less than what you have earmarked for him on the earth. Let him not underplay his role. I pray it from my heart. I pray it for people I consider my contemporaries in ministry. You know what I am doing? I am saying to God, let that man be everything you want him to be. Let me be everything you want me to be. If what you want me to be is to impact a community only, let me do so. And let him do his own. The opposite of goodwill is witchcraft. When you don't wish people well, and you are now wishing people evil, that is wishes that are crafty. Bad will is the kindergarten of witchcraft. When you are, what did the person do to you? Let's see how she'll get married. Do you used to eat singleness? Somebody died, they are rejoicing. Okay, carry the dead body and eat it. Since you are attracted to death. Do you understand what I'm saying? Wishing people well. That goodwill. Number one, it purifies your life. It cleanses you from the toxin of bitterness. Number two, you are sowing a seed that must, if I say you must become who God wants you to become, no devil can stop me from reaching where I must reach. If I say he must reach where God wants him to reach, and if I violently say no devil shall stop you, the devil that can stop me has not been manufactured. It has not been manufactured. The Bonham, well, who Bonham? Everyone seated here today, everything God wants you to do with your life in his hands, no devil shall stop you. Everyone connected to this broadcast right now, I release goodwill for you. The devil that can stop you, that devil has not been found. Every potential in your life that needs to be released and realized, I declare the release of such potentials. In the name of Jesus, you shall not die until all that is in you is released for your generation. And Bible says after David served his generation, he slept. You can't sleep until you have served. Until you have fully served. Until you have served well. Look at your neighbor by yourself. Say, I wish you well. You will do well. You will do very, very well. No devil can stop you. Everything God has earmarked for your life on earth must come to pass. Keep moving. Don't be discouraged. You must reach the end. How do you feel? You feel better yourself, right? Say it to somebody else. You say, in the name of Jesus, your destiny is guaranteed. You have a destiny of glory. And you must reach that destiny. No devil can stop you before the end. Move on. I am behind you. Shout to the Lord with the voice of triumph.
You know, who surrounds you determine what you can survive. Paul was stoned and left to die. The disciples surrounded him. Surrounded him with love. Acts 14:20. Surrounded him with goodwill. He stood up. They killed him already. They stoned him to death. Dragged him out of the city. But he was surrounded with goodwill. You see, so many people are suffering. Because goodwill is scant. Even the wife he married is wishing him evil. I know of wives that are cursing their husband consistently. And vice versa. God forgive them. Hallelujah. 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 Say to your friend, say to somebody by you again, say in the name of Jesus, it is well with you. As for me, consistent release of goodwill to my wife, to my children, consistently. I sent her a birthday message this year. You will see the fruit of your labor. You will fulfill. You will not labor in vain. You will not build another inhabit from my heart. You won't build an another inherit. Do you know the meaning of that prayer? You won't labor in vain. You won't bring forth for trouble. Your children shall not be concerned. They are my children too.
Yes.
But I have to release it to her. It returns back to me.
Amen.
They will not be challenged children. They will not be challenging
Amen.
Children.
Amen.
They will not be troublesome
Amen.
Children.
Amen.
Your voice shall be heard.
Amen.
Grace inside you will come.
Amen.
Are you saying amen afresh?
Amen. Afresh amen. I'm even kneeling down to receive more.
Do you understand what I'm saying? And words are also prophetic.
Yes.
So they also hinder satanic agendas.
Yes.
Am I communicating at all?
Yes, sir.
So it is important that this be released on a continuous basis.
Amen.
To somebody that you love, to your friends, to your loved ones. Just wish them well. You are blessed. It is well with you. Even in the pain of compliments along the way as you greet. Good morning. God bless you. It is well with you. Let us be more profuse in that. Than other profane things. It's well with you. God bless you. You will do well. Be encouraged. Go forth and break forth. And as we do so, we are releasing love, becoming more and more like God, and it is returning back to us with the kind of results we desire. Let me release more. I decree today, every grave dug for you, those who dug it shall be buried in it. Your voice shall be heard in your generation.
Amen.
Anywhere the curse is placed on your life, that curse is cleared and returned back to hell.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
If you are saying amen, shout the loudest amen.
Amen.
Take your seat in the presence of the Lord. I think second service is always on fire. It's wishing goodwill to everybody, wishing everyone the best. Next, love does not underrate, or put down others. It doesn't undermine. It doesn't underrate. It doesn't put down others. Our scripture is still 1 Corinthians 13 verse 4. It doesn't underrate. It doesn't undermine. It doesn't put down people. Hate puts down people. Hate puts down people. Love enhances people's value. That was number 12. I'll rush now. Number 13. That's number 13. Place the scripture reference but beside it or behind it. Love does not undermine, underrate, or put down others. Number 13. Love is never rude, unmannerly, or act unbecomingly. Love is never rude, unmannerly, or act unbecomingly. When we were children, we were told that when an elder, somebody older than you, comes to a place, you stand up to greet them. You stand up, yes, sir. And for as long as they are standing, you are standing. It has changed. You see someone seated and an elder steps in and is sitting on his seat with shaking his hands. Unbecomingly. The level of disrespect in our generation has, and is all a reflection of the bankruptcy of love. There are cultures today where there is no senior or junior. Everybody is almost a pally. I'm sorry, but hi, how are you? Everybody is 50 years old. This is the generation where somebody is 70 years, somebody is 17 years. And they say, meet my friend. 70-year-old. In normal culture, is your father. In fact, grandfather. Jesus called his disciples friend out of how much he loved them. But they never returned back to call him friend. They called him what? Master. So the fact that somebody brings himself to your level to relate with you does not mean you shouldn't know his level. He brought himself to your level just in humility to just make you feel comfortable, and he said, friend. They didn't return to say friend, master. That he brought himself low to relate with you doesn't mean you should forget his level. That's the generation we live in today. Do you understand what I'm talking about? It's very, very important that the culture of respect and regard. We have a lot of many, many senior people in our church. People highly placed in various realms. Because of the grace they see or mantle they see in the pastor's life, many of them say, good morning, sir. I cannot just swallow it and say yes. Yes, sir. Good morning, sir. It's a mutual saration. Yes, sir. He sent a text message. I just wanted to let you know I'm back, sir. You are welcome back, sir. Is it grace? Can any level of grace make you not recognize who is older? Of respect is gone. See, small boy raised his shoulder, talking down on everybody, including those big enough to burn him. Hallelujah. Love does not act, is never rude, unmannerly, or act unbecomingly. And I believe that this love matter is shaping our character. Number 15. Love makes accommodation for the challenges of others. It makes room for the challenges, the issues, the fears, the aspirations of others. There is room. You have accommodation for others in your life. Your life is not just about yourself. Philippians chapter 2, verse 2 to 4. Fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind. Let each esteem others better than themselves. Look not every man on your own things, but also be interested in the matters of others. You make room for the life and issues of others. You have accommodation.
for the challenges of people. Now, if you are to face your own life challenges, you won't attend to anybody. Am I communicating? If you are just to face yourself, you won't answer anybody. But you just go beyond yourself. Number 16. I think, okay, one more and then will be true. Love does not keep a record of wrongs. It does not look out for the errors, the mistakes, or the offense of others. It does not keep a record of wrong. That is love. I've been married to my wife for 30 years. 30 years in April. For some people, there is a book that is 30 years old. The book of record. We wedded on the 16th of April, 1994. By the 18th of April, you said something I didn't like. By the 18th of April, 1994. Then the record continued. On the 20th, there was another one. You know, when we married newly, we had to adjust a lot. My wife was over, the laughing and the excitement you are seeing now and the excitedness is shadow compared to how she was then. She sees you for the first time. She engages you squarely. How are you? Hi, everybody. Hi, everybody. All manner. Your perfume smells so nice. I say, no, don't go to... At one point, she said, does it mean I don't do anything right? I said, no, you do things right. It's just that I want it to be right. All in love, oh, no shouting, no screaming, nothing. Oh no, this is a bit too far. Just hold on here. Alright? Eh? Okay, man can also jealous. Especially if you want to commend man perfume. Praise the Lord. Some people, they have the record book. And I think I want you to learn something here. The fact that people have not quarreled or exchanged words does not mean the reason to quarrel did not exist. Or the reason for exchange of words didn't come up at any point. Or the reason to keep malice didn't come up. It's just a deliberate choice, decision, that there is a limit to the discussion. And misunderstanding is when the understanding is missed. Do you understand what I'm saying? And a clear communication is the cure for bad confusion. Hallelujah. So you just explain, no. It's not that I'm picking on you. This is the reason why. Okay. Oh, no. This is the reason why this is said. Okay. This is the reason. Oh, okay. And vice versa. Whatever she also felt wasn't accurate in how I conducted or did things, she would also mention it. And it will be handled the same way. It's not that I'm a man. Why would you talk to me like, no. Hallelujah. What was the point we were talking about just now? That love does not keep a record of wrong. It's not looking for the errors. It's not on the lookout for the mistakes. No. It's not. Doesn't keep a record of wrongs. Doesn't look out for the errors, mistakes, or offense of others. Number 17, love celebrates the triumph. It celebrates triumphs, victories, and success in others. It celebrates it. It celebrates triumph, celebrates victories, celebrates success in others. Real love. Once it happened for him and it has not happened for you, you celebrate it. You rejoice. While we were looking for our land, this land, or looking for a big land that can house this kind of structure, after the Area 1 place was overwhelmed, we looked, we hadn't found. We saw it, a ministry that had a big campground and they were trying to build and to roof and they were struggling. I went to them, I said, what's the cost of this roof? They told us the cost. We roofed all of it for them. Celebrating their triumph even when we were looking for our own. And that also became a seed. That if you can make it happen for these people, you must get your land. You must get your own. And we got ours. And God roofed it by his power. Millions of dollars. Hallelujah. Love celebrates. And finally, love is faith-filled. Faith-filled. Meaning is that there is an element of faith in love. Love does not give up easily. When we love, we possess faith. The same way that faith works by love. For example, if somebody has a bad child, there is nothing under heaven that will make him believe that the child will die bad. The love for the child says that this child must serve God one day. The love for that friend believes. Just believes the best. Whenever you see people believing the worst of people, looking out for the worst, that is absence of love. Love believes. Congratulations. I'm happy that you are seated. This man's heart was gone. You called me from the hospital. Was it on oxygen that time? He was in intensive care unit. All hope was lost. You were there with him when you called.
Yes, I called from there, sir. Yeah. And then you picked the call. You prayed for him. I think about 15 minutes after that, he was out of the intensive care unit. Yes, and I also came here with him to the office here the same day.
Yes.
And from then till forever, he has been hale and hearty, completely looking fresh.
Yes. That's God. Terrible. He said, please, I want to be released from work because I can't cope with work because of the heart. And he can't stand sound, can't stand heat. He can't be here now. I looked at him with compassion. You have to come out of this. You have to come out of this. He's out of it.
It was at the final stage, sir.
It was at the final phase of the failure of the heart.
Yes, sir.
Yes. Congratulations. I'm happy for you. You fulfill your days.
Amen.
That's madam.
Amen. Yes.
That's right. Shining and shining. Thank you for taking good care of madam. The shining apparel. You won't bury your wife. You won't bury your husband.
You will fulfill your days. If you are saying amen, say louder amen. Lift your hands and say, I believe the best will come out of my life and will come out of the lives of my loved ones. The best must come out.
Please, I beg you in love, don't give up on any child. Don't give up on wife or husband. Don't give up on friend. Don't give up on anyone that is dear to you. It doesn't matter how the situation is today. Let the love that is tough remain in that toughness, and the people will come out. Let me round off by giving you, what do you do to handle bitterness? I am out of time, although not out of talk. Number one, how do you? You see, somebody sent me a text message the other day. They said, thank you for the messages that you've received on the toxicity of hate. You say, but how do you deal with the pain that comes from betrayal, from being hurt? I thought I answered it last Sunday when we dealt on how to deal with hate. But let's go. How do you deal with the pain of hate? I spoke about it in the first service. Number one, soak yourself in the presence of love. The presence of God, which is the presence of love. When you turn on the light, darkness disappears. When you apply the bleach, the stain melts. When you apply the love, the hate and its consequences dissolve. Just soak yourself in God's presence, in worship, in the word, in prayer. Just let that fillable presence of God surround you. Let it become a surround around your life. And in a short while, you won't even remember who offended you, or maybe until you come across their name or something, you remember that there was once a hurt. I've had people before come to me and they say, please forgive me. And I say, forgive you of what? Remember a particular guy? Forgive you of what? He said, you can't remember what I did? I say, I'm sorry. Remind me. And he had to remind me. What he did was very grievous. But I couldn't remember. And I was not pretending. My wife told me one day, said, your heart is good, oh. There are too many things you can't remember. Now, the things that I need to remember, I remember them. Yes. Date of birth. I saw your face 35 years ago. But, all of a sudden I think that soaking yourself in God, just abandonment in the presence of God, there is a way. That is why, otherwise, heaven will be full of pain. Because you remember all your relations in hell. All the people you pray to, you will just, where is this one? It's not here. Why? What of this one? Tears. But you know what happened? The presence of God, the presence of love just cleans the mind until it appears like you can't remember not a dime of any evil or bad thing. It's real. It's real. When you hang around people, the matters of people can overwhelm your life. But when you hang around God, you will come to a point where those things will so melt off your mind that you'll be wondering, where was the pain? Number two, focus on the purpose and plan of God for your life. Bible said, if your eye is single, your body is full of light. If your eye is evil, it is full of darkness. Just look at your front. Have you become everything God wants you to become? No. What is the next purpose of God for you? What is your next phase? What represents the next level for your life? Face it. Nelson Mandela came out 27 years incarceration. Became president of South Africa. Somebody asked him a question. What do you feel about those who put you in prison? Who maltreated you? Do you feel hatred for them? Bitterness? Anger? Are you bitter? He said, bitter? There is no time to be bitter. There is work to do. Quote unquote. Bitter? There is no time to be bitter. There is work to do. You can afford to be bitter if you have no work to do. If you have nowhere you are going. You can mind confrontation if you lack a destination. Hola, hola. But if you are headed somewhere, the Bible says Jesus set his face like a flint, for he must go through Jerusalem. When they say the Samaritans were looking for their trouble, should we call down fire? He said, calm down, you don't know what you're talking about. He set his face like a flint. That is what some of us need to do. Set your face like a flint until you'll make the devil regret his devilishness, imparting with inconsequential existence. Am I communicating? Itemize what is weighing on your heart. Identify where you think God is taking you to. Define what is your next level, what must be accomplished, and face it with focus. You can afford to be bitter if you don't have work to do. Don't forget, that statement now, wind cannot carry it. You hear that adage? Akwe magana. Finally, number three, identify any advantage that can be found in the situations that you experienced and focus on them. Any advantage. Anything. Now, out of every situation of life, there is an advantage. There is a profitability. Everything you pass through, there is something that passed through that thing to you. Look at Joseph. In Genesis chapter 50, verse 19 to verse 20, Joseph said to his brethren, and Joseph said unto them, fear not, for am I in the place of God? As for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive. Now therefore, fear not, I will nourish you for pushing me to my destiny. I will nourish you for helping me to fulfill my vision. My vision was in Egypt and I was in Israel. If you didn't sell me to Egypt, how will I? I want to thank. The time will come when you will look for some agents of the devil to thank them for what they did against you. For what they did against you. You were hurting me, God was helping me. You were trying to harm me, and God was trying to help me. Am I communicating? Somebody say loud amen.
Stand on your feet and shout the loudest amen. Shout the loudest amen. Shout the loud most amen. Shout amen at the top of your voice.
Remain standing. Everything that heart instructs, there is instruction. And the things that hurt can either make you better or bitter. And whether you will be better or you will be bitter is a choice. Somebody say amen. Whether you will be better or you will be bitter is a choice. When somebody said, look at you, what can you amount to in life? And you decided to amount to something by becoming more serious with God. By becoming more prayerful, by going to school and developing yourself higher, by pressing and pushing until you arrive somewhere. That person who told you, what do you think you will become in life, is not a person to hate. It's a person to thank for pushing you. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen. Somebody say louder, amen. Amen. My time is up. And I have no option but to stop here. So that you can come again when next we say you should come.
The topic has to continue. Stand up on your feet, everybody. How many of you know Pastor W.F. Kumuyi? Who is he? Huh? Pastor of what? Ipalife. Pastor W.F. Kumuyi was at the tail end of his class until Form 4 in secondary school. That is, if he doesn't take last, it means maybe somebody didn't write exam. He was at the back of the class, always playing, beating drum. So one day, a teacher saw him playing. You know what the teacher said? Williams. His first name is William, W.F. William Kumuyi. Williams. Others are playing, you are playing too. It entered his head. So since I am failing, I shouldn't play. He went and sat down. Began to study. By Form 5. How many of you know Form 5? What they call now SS1 or SS2. He shifted forward in front of the class more. By Form second term, he came forward. By third term, under 1 year, he became the best in the class. Now, he sat at home and read, registered for GCE, A levels, not O level, A levels, the one you do before you go for direct entry. He sat at home, wrote applied mathematics, wrote pure mathematics, and I think physics also. Very terrible, tough subjects. He got A. And was admitted to University of Ibadan, where he graduated in 1968 with 99% in mathematics as the best overall graduating student 56 years ago. That teacher who told him, if others are laughing, should you laugh too? Should he hate that teacher? He's a teacher to look for and thank. He's a teacher, if possible, to build a house for. He's a teacher, if he's still alive, to celebrate. Because if not that you talk to me hurtfully like that, you wouldn't have pushed me out and pushed my best out and made me to become the best version of my life. That man today, when he preaches the Bible, he does it mathematically. The topics is the same, just the same phraseology. Do you understand what I'm talking about? He said he read the Bible like he read mathematics. Hallelujah. Somebody, an insult, entered his head. Insult entered his head. And he changed his mind. Your own insult made you terrible. Hating everybody. Wasted, not talking to people. No. He should push you. Let me tell you what happened one day. I'd like you to listen to this, if this is the final time. I went, traveled all the way to meet a man of God somewhere. I had heard that this man, he can pray for the sick. Blind eyes will open, this and that. All those miracles were happening. I was seeing some level of results. But I wasn't seeing the drasticness of the results I wanted to see. I traveled all the way to meet the man. Somebody was hosting him, a pastor. And that one said, right, you can be on your way, come. I will introduce you. When I arrived, they fenced me from meeting the man. Just, yes. Now, I wasn't failing. In our city of Abuja then, if you were mentioning ministries at the forefront, we were already there, somehow. But my desperation for God wanted to see more. When I went to the hotel where we stayed, my wife was with me. And I went before God and I prayed. God spoke a word to me and I will never forget. He said, the things you are looking for, they are not with men, they are with me. I can pass through men to give you, but
originally they are with me. And you can link with me and get it straight. I said, thank you, sir. That pushed me further into God. And I began to see things and see things. Then God brought me again into contact with a very mighty vessel by the name Brian Bunkie. And that flowed naturally and effortlessly because that one was an embodiment of all humility. Do you understand what I'm saying? He said, they are with me. I can pass through men to give you, but they are with me. He pushed me to God. That one that blocked me, I don't hate him. The one they blocked me from, do you want to know what happened? One day I was in my office and some people came from the country of that man to my office in Area 1. And they said, so and so person said we should greet you. He has heard about you. And he wants to know whether you are available to minister for him. The person I could not see to pray me impartation is asking for me as guest minister. So I said to tell him that I will check my schedule and I will be glad to come. So I checked my schedule. My schedule was free. And then I went. He received me empty, wholeheartedly. I've heard about you. I've seen the miracles, seen the things and so on. I minister like a man from another world. Word like fire. Signs and wonders like water. The wife said to us, he said, this is my kind of pastor. Worded results. Till today, till tomorrow, we are like this. During the COVID, I ministered to them from here. On Zoom. Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? Don't let the things that look like hindrance hinder yourself. Inside everything that looks like a disadvantage, there is a corresponding advantage. We miss many opportunities. But I believe that God is giving somebody an opening today. Say amen like a believer. Say amen like a believer. Say amen like a believer. Finally, receive the grace to move on. Ask for the grace to move on. To move beyond your heart. Paul the Apostle said, forgetting the things that are behind and reaching forth to things that are in front. I receive grace, Lord. I can't allow my life to be held back by this offense, by this bitterness. What happened 20 years ago cannot be relevant today. I let it go. What happened 5 years ago cannot be relevant today. I let it go. I receive the grace to move on. Listen, until you close the last chapter, you can't open the next chapter. There are so many people so busy with the last chapter that was filled with bitterness and hurt, and the next chapter couldn't be opened. The guy said he won't marry you. You are still holding him. So in the realm of the spirit, the next person to marry you see you as if you are engaged. Because you are still holding the last person. You are holding him at heart. He sees you married. He sees you occupied. Let go. You don't walk backward into the future. People are trying to move backward and they think it is the future they are going. If you are walking backward, you are going backward. There is no future in the past. To face the past is to pass with the past. It's too much. Let's stop today. Nobody walks like this. You are so offended that you started walking like this. We walk like this. If you walk like this, there are many challenges. You run into disaster without knowing. Your speed is slowed down. And then thirdly, people will think you are mad. Nothing is normal with the bitter. Bitterness can actually lay foundation for madness. I've seen it with my eyes that I can count. People got bitter until they run crazy. It's a new day. Somebody give the Lord a shout of victory. Hallelujah. 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 Give the Lord a bigger clap and a louder shout of praise. Would you lift up your hands right now and give Him the honor? Give Him the adoration. Give Him the worship. Father, we worship You. Father, we love You. Father, we adore You. Father, we praise You. Father, we honor You. Father, we adore You. We magnify You. We glorify You. We honor You. We adore You. We worship You. Thank You, Master. In Jesus' precious name.
Amen.
Place your hand on your chest. Just run here now. Leave the other hand up. And say after me, say, Father.
Father,
I come before You today.
I come before You today.
I receive the grace.
I receive the grace
to live in love.
To live in love.
In a backward world.
In a backward world.
In a loveless world.
In a loveless world.
Give me the grace.
Give me the grace
to live in love.
To walk in love.
In a loveless world. I receive that grace. Oh Lord. In the name of Jesus. Go ahead, lift your voice and pray. In Jesus' precious name.
Amen.
Father, I pray for everyone here today. The grace to make this word practical. We receive it.
Amen.
Thank You, Master. In Jesus' precious name.
Amen.
Give the Lord a praise. Take your seat.